and a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters right here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, John Beter. Glad to be with you on this Monday afternoon. And of course, joining me in the studio, it's Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Bob, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about a few topics. A bit later on in the program, we'll chat about University of St. Francis' recent purchase of a second location downtown. That's the Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce building. First, though, we're going to talk a little bit about some economic streamlining that we may be seeing in the near future. And joining us in studio to chat for this half hour, it's Mike Chrisman. He's a board chair at the Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce, one of the organizations involved in that. Mike, thanks very much for being with us today.
For having me.
Now, let's back up here to the beginning. This was last week. There was a big announcement from the mayor, along with several economic leaders from the Fort Wayne area. Tell us a little bit about what that announcement was all about.
Well, there's been talk over several years about the Chamber Alliance, the DID, and several other possible organizations possibly co-locating for effectiveness and so forth. And, you know, things heated up a little bit earlier this summer. There was some discussion and some conversation going on, and we decided last week, you know, to bring it out and talk a little bit about it and get a little more in-depth to the conversation and what we're going to be doing and looking at.
Now, why now? Because you mentioned that, you know, this is something that's been tossed around for a while. Mm-hmm. Why decide to make that known and start that process nowadays?
Well, I think there's several reasons. One is obviously here in Fort Wayne, the timing seems to be at a good spot and a good point to consider these, you know, this point. You know, the chamber just announced the sale of their building. The alliance is with an interim executive director as well as the DID. So it seemed to make sense to discuss this opportunity about, you know, co-locating or something of that nature. And also, you know, around the country, times have changed with the economy and how things have gone. And, you know, this type of consideration has been done in other cities throughout the country that we've looked at.
We do want to hear from you, our listeners, today. If you have a question for Mike Chrisman, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Bob Kaler.
How much will a discussion of realigning roles be part of this talk of that begins with co-locating?
Well, Bob, I think, you know, some of the things you have to get to is obviously the organizational structure. You know, each of these organizations do have their own little niche that they concentrate on. And, you know, how this comes together and all these entities can, you know, still perform, you know, some of the key duties that they do is the main thing. So that's the first thing we have to look at.
And just to bring people up to speed on that, let's, you know, sketch out in just a sentence or two what each of the groups does and,
well,
how they fit together.
You know, obviously, if you would look at it, you know, taking a chamber, for instance, a chamber is a member service-driven organization. You know, we focus on small businesses and businesses in general, you know, for business services that they might need. The DID, Downtown Development Group, focuses a lot on downtown activities and development in that nature. And the Alliance is an economic-driven workhorse that you know, focuses more on you know, business and economic development. They all kind of work together, but they all have their unique responsibilities also. So you know, that's the key thing we have to look at. You know, moving forward, it's, you know, we're still in the early infancy stages of you know, this discussion, so there's still a lot of things we have to work out and get to at that point.
Are you, even in these early stages, though, has this discussion so far been just about co-locating, or are there other efficiencies that that can be gained through these partnerships? Even if you haven't talked about them yet, I mean, what could you see in the future of this partnership?
Well, you know, as I look at things, when you come to a city, obviously, you know, for business economics and development and that nature, what you're trying to do is make it as efficient as possible for anybody that we can. You know, having to stop at different places or not knowing exactly where to go makes it seem like we're all on different pages. So I think, you know, this is the key part that we're looking at right now. There's been a lot of things talked about, but I think the key thing is the effectiveness and communication with the, you know, the businesses coming into the city and our own businesses and, you know, how things can be done and organized better.
Now, I know that in the announcement last week, there were other cities brought up as models to look at as you go forward in discussions here. Where did you look, and what was looked at when you talk about model cities?
Well, you know, one of them's Oklahoma City. It's you know, pretty much one that we had somebody come in talk to us a little bit. In that nature, they have looked at these organizations as a whole and brought them in together. You know, there's several ones, other ones out there up in Wisconsin and Kentucky, and out in I think Seattle, Washington is another area. So that's where we've been focusing.
We do want to hear from you today. Do give us a call. That number, once again, 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Now, I'm curious, too, because the economy has affected everyone, you know, from you know, your average renter here in Fort Wayne all the way up to economic development organizations. Have you had to create efficiencies to streamline at the chamber? And what have those been? And can you bring any of those to this partnership as the discussions go forward?
Well, I think as a whole, you know, we continue to look, you know, in the chamber and in all our organizations to streamline the process. You know, the chamber has gone through, you know, some different cases where we've streamlined some processes with advocacy and working with other organizations. The regional chamber and is one example where we've tried to work and, you know, coexist with each other and help each other out. So I think, you know, those are some of the things you look at. And, you know, all the time the world's changing, you go through cycles. You know, it's just a part of the process, and we'll see what comes out of it.
We're talking with Mike Christman, board chair of the Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce, Greater Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce, I should say. And let's go to the phones here. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 260-452-1185. We have Carrie on the line from Fort Wayne. Good afternoon, Carrie. You're on Midday Matters.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I read about this in the paper, and I know all of these organizations well, as the business that I run the budget for is a member of all of the organizations. And I hope that in streamlining those decision makers that are talking about grouping these organizations together, do it for the purpose of improving efficiency and not for political motivation. You know, I think anytime you have agencies that have interests in some of the same facets of improving our community, it's great to improve their situation and possibly streamline those processes, help them with administration, and even, you know, co-locating. But I think that each of these three organizations serves a very distinct purpose, and I would hate for those purposes to get lost if the organizations are lost or their focuses or visions are lost too much. And I'm just wondering what the panel has to say about that.
Right. Mike Christman.
I think that's a great point. I think the key thing that each organization brings to the table is a little unique and a little different. And, you know, that's one of the main topics that we've talked about in some of these early discussions is, you know, the members, you know, especially from the chamber, looking at the chamber side, the members, you know, we need to understand, you know, why they're chamber members and what they're there for. And we need to keep that presence and that available to the, you know, to the chamber members. And it's the same with the DID and, you know, that part of the organization and in Alliance. So that is very important. And that is one of the key things we, you know, we look at every meeting and part of every discussion.
Well, especially relative to downtown, may I say that our business is located in downtown, our executive offices, and we hear time and time again from folks that are from out of town here on business how much improved the downtown is, and I think there's a true momentum, a real positive momentum with a lot of the things that are being accomplished in our central city right now. So, you know, I think it's important for us not to lose that momentum, even if the organizations change. I just hope that there'll be people at the helm of each of those organizations that keep things moving forward.
I think that's absolutely correct, and that's the number one priority. You know, we want to focus on making things even better than what they are now. So that's your point is absolutely correct.
All right. Carrie, thanks very much for your call, and have a good day.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. We do want you to join the conversation this hour. Give us a call, that number, 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll-free. It's 1-800-471-9264. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue the discussion when we get back. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Jeffrey Toobin about how the Supreme Court decisions on Citizens United and the Affordable Care Act will affect legislation for years to come. His new book is The Oath, The Obama White House and the Supreme Court. Toobin's also the author of the bestseller The Nine. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
This week on American Roots, we're rocking and rolling. First with the girl group icon Lala Brooks of the Crystals. Then we'll take a sea cruise on over to Gretna, Louisiana, and visit with Frankie Ford. Plus a jukebox full of doo-wop and sock hop hits. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Monday night at 7 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold & Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Will your money last? With a retirement plan, it can. More information at Reinbold & Anderson on NIPR's homepage at www.nipr.fm. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
It's 12:20. You're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Joining us this hour is Mike Christman, board chair at the Greater Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce. He's here to talk during this part of the program about an effort to streamline services through a number of economic organizations in Fort Wayne. We do want to hear from you today. Give us a call. 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We've talked a little bit in the first part of the program here about you know the fact that these are just initial talks about how to better streamline these services and these organizations. What so far, at least in this very difficult economic time. Do you think the chamber has done right in terms of serving our business community and maybe serving businesses who are looking at Fort Wayne as a new home? And what do you think other organizations have done right as well?
Well, as a whole, I think the city is moving in the right, the city, county, all the organizations are moving in the right direction. I think on the chamber's behalf, you know, there's a lot of benefits that our members get from being members of the chamber, from the advocacy program to, you know, group purchasing, buys, insurance, and so forth. So there's a lot of member services. You know, city and county have played a big role in some of this, you know, organization structure on their behalf. They've looked at the buildings that the city has purchased here recently, their co-location organization approach that they have done here just recently, you know, is a sign, you know, the cooperation and everything that's moving forward. So that's a lot of good things that's been happening here in the last year, probably.
Have the city and county governments been strong partners for a long time, or do you think that partnership has become more robust in the last few years?
No, I think, you know, I've been in town for a little over 7 years, and since my time, I think the city and chamber and county have all moved in the right direction and continue to work with each other very well. And I think that's going to continue. It's not something that just came to the table. Everybody's been in this together from the start.
And Bob Kaler.
Is it your sense that that business leaders and local politicians are in general happy with the centralized economic development function of the Alliance as compared to the way it was before, where the chamber did economic development recruiting and the city did it and the county did it?
Bob, I think the key thing that we're all looking at, and, you know, not being able to, you know, not speaking for the mayor or the commissioner in that nature, but in some of our general conversations, I think everybody believes that there's a more effective way for us to do this. The Alliance has done a great job in economic development to date. You know, obviously, as I said earlier, things change over time, and we need, as a community and as business leaders and city officials, we need to adjust to that. And I think this is one of those steps, adjusting to that change. But the Alliance has done a pretty good job. Last year for the Alliance, they did an outstanding job, and they continue to do a good job for us in the community of Fort Wayne.
I do think that these talks, this announcement that there may be more partnerships, more streamlining to come, does point to maybe the fact that improvements can be made. What do you think still needs to be improved upon, done better in terms of economic development in Fort Wayne, and do you think these partnerships can address those needs?
You know, I think in Fort Wayne, Allen County, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, not only locally just in Allen County, but in Northeast region, the regional partnership and so forth, I think that cooperation has come together very well, and I think that continues. This is just another step in the process, you know, for Allen County as a whole, in Fort Wayne and so forth. So it's a great step. And, you know, whatever happens in the future, we'll have to wait and see. But I think, you know, this process for Allen County is a good one and something we should all look at and consider.
Looks like we have another caller on the line. And, of course, if you want to join the conversation in the last few minutes of this part of the program, the number, it's 260-452-1185. Let's go to Mindy. Mindy on line one, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Thank you. First, I'd like to echo the comments of the former caller, Carrie. I couldn't agree more with how she stated it. One point is that the Alliance and the DID should be noted that they are already co-located in the same building at the request of the DID board. They had done this already within the last year. A question for Mr. Christman. Why make a public announcement last week, a press conference, about this particular discussion before a plan of action is actually in place? It's my sense that there are more questions to be asked than there are to be answered at this point. Thank you, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Mindy, thanks very much for your call. Mike Christman.
Well, you know, I think there's been lots of rumors over the last couple months and even years, and they've heated up here quite recently. And I think the key thing we want it to be as we look at this and discuss about this topic is be out in the open as much as we can. You know, we're having these conversations. You know, we wanted to let people know where we stand in the process, or, you know, what our thoughts were. And that's why we came out with the announcement. There was a lot of rumors, you know, around the community, business community, and in each different organization as we move forward. So I think that was the key reason, and to be open and, you know, just up front with everybody.
Yeah, I'm curious, going forward now, we only have a few minutes left in the program, but what are some signposts now that people can look for as this process goes forward? When do you hope to have a plan in place, but what can people look for along the line here?
Well, I think what we'll do is, you know, these groups and organizations will get together and have some more discussions and start getting a little more in-depth to see what we have and what the opportunities are. As this process goes along, you know, we'll probably have some announcements to the community as we move forward. The plan is, and the thought process is, to try to have, you know, a decision on this wrapped up by the end of the year. You know, which direction, you know, if it's co-location, you know, on the effectiveness or what approach we come up with. So we'll be keeping the community and the organizations together and updated as we go.
What needs from the chamber will you be bringing to those or will the chamber be bringing to those discussions? Anything specific to the chamber's needs or what the chamber might want to augment with these partnerships?
Well, you know, I think the chamber as a whole is a, you know, business or organization. We work with small and large businesses, as I stated earlier. And a lot of people, you know, come to the chamber, you know, looking for, you know, different things from member services, as I mentioned, to, you know, what steps they need to take for economic development. We've worked with these organizations, the Alliance, as we've gone through the process and passed that stuff on. And I think having the co-location possibility is an effective approach and something we'll, you know, we'll just bring our organization and all our employees and staff members to the table.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time here. Bob, were you going to jump in there?
How much time do we have?
We can do a few more minutes here.
Okay. One of the things that you're looking at be the effectiveness of lobbying that the Northeast Regional Chamber does, and might that be a move that the chamber makes in the future, is de-emphasizing lobbying and moving more of that over to the regional chamber?
No, I think you know, the regional chamber as a whole has focused on the region, Northeast Indiana, and the chamber focuses on, as it works with the other chambers out there and participates with them, the chamber has their focus on Allen County as a whole, and our members utilize that service very well. It's a great member service that we have for the small businesses. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the future, you know, with the region in that nature. Is that a possibility? You know, who knows? But I think at the time, the chamber, especially this past legislative session, the chamber's advocacy group and workforce, along with the regional chamber, worked very well together. And I think we accomplished a lot of things down in Annapolis over the last year.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be checking in as the discussions go on, and we'll look forward to hearing these new efficiencies at the end of the year. So, Mike Christman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Mike Christman is chairman of the board at the Greater Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce. When we come back, we'll talk about the University of St. Francis' new acquisition downtown. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
It's the season for harvesting apples, but this year in Michigan, they're really hard to find. Only about 15% of the state's normal crop survived freezing temperatures in April.
I always say we're 2 degrees from disaster most springs, and this year it caught up with us.
the story of Michigan's missing apples, later on All Things Considered from NPR News. That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Bishop Lewers announced yesterday that Matt Lindsay, head football coach and athletic director, has been fired. It was reported that Lindsay was taking a leave of absence for personal medical reasons, but Lewers principal Mary Kiefer said in a news release that Lindsay was not on medical leave and his employment at Bishop Lewers High School was terminated for violations of school and diocesan policies and employment contract obligations. The state of Indiana is urging farmers to take special precautions during harvest season this year. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, the drought has created some additional risks.
There are several typical precautions the State Department of Agriculture advises farmers to take during harvest season, such as getting enough sleep, taking frequent breaks, and double-checking equipment safety measures. But with almost every corner of the state heavily affected by severe drought, Purdue agronomist Bob Nielsen says there are more concerns this year. He says despite increased rain in recent weeks, field fires are still a real possibility.
You know, when it's been as dry as it's been, there's always that risk, and everyone needs to be aware of it, not just farmers.
Nielsen says many crops have already died and begun decomposing because of the drought. That creates increased dust and mold that could be harmful to farmers.
So the risks in terms of human safety is, you know, harvesting all day, being around all that dust and fungal activity and breathing it in.
Nielsen says farmers need to make sure the air filters in the combine cabins are working well, and in extreme conditions, they should consider wearing respirator masks. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The Fort Wayne Tin Caps needed 2 wins in 3 games this past weekend to claim the league championship. WBOY's Doug Gruber has the results.
Saturday night, Wisconsin downed the Tin Caps 10-8 to take a 2-1 lead in the best-of-5 series. The Tin Caps had their chances but left 9 runners on base and were 4 of 14 with runners in scoring position. The loss made yesterday's game a must-win for the Tin Caps. Sunday evening, Wisconsin scored single runs in the first 2 innings to take a 2-0 lead. Fort Wayne rebounded in the third. Yason Asensio's 2-run double tied the score. It remained 2-2 until the top of the 7th when Wisconsin pushed across 2 runs for a 4-2 lead. From then on, the Tin Caps bats were silent, managing only 1 hit in their last 20 at-bats. So Wisconsin is the Midwest League 2012 champion, the first time that franchise has won since 1984. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan is visiting Indiana for a campaign fundraiser at downtown Indianapolis's JW Marriott Hotel. Indiana Republican Party spokesman Pete Seat says the party is excited about Ryan's visit today to headline the fundraiser. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney stopped in Evansville last month and in Lake County in July to raise money for his campaign. Tickets to the event cost $1,000 and the cost of hosting a table at the fundraiser is $10,000. The money raised at Monday's event goes to the Romney Victory Fund. That fund is a fundraising committee comprising Romney for President Incorporated, the National Republican Centennial Committee, and the National Republican Congressional Committee, and several state Republican parties. And now back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
WBOI 1235 here at WBOI. You're tuned to Midday Matters. Let's take a quick look at the schedule here. Looks all right. I was getting ready to do the weather forecast from the morning there, Bob. So you are listening to Midday Matters. This is the second half of the program. We talked a little bit earlier about the new economic partnerships being talked about among a number of business leaders in town. Now we're going to switch just a little bit and talk about the University of St. Francis's recent acquisition downtown. Joining us in studio, it's Dean of the School of Business at University of St. Francis, Helen Murray. Thanks very much for being with us in studio today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Joining us as well, we have Michelle Merritt from the Greater Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce, and waiting very patiently, I might add, during the first part of the discussion. Michelle, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
I want to start with you, Helen Murray. Tell us a little bit about the acquisition. We just heard about this last week, this purchase of the Chamber of Commerce building downtown.
Okay. Well, we're very excited about this. The university is space constrained on our Spring Street campus, and so we were looking for solutions. And our Franciscan values have us respecting creation, looking for renovation and preservation versus new. So we explored the chamber building as one of the options. What appeals to us is partnering with the community to create a vibrant downtown, and we think expanding our campus to that area will help Fort Wayne.
And I want to talk about this. We're talking over the break, this studied move toward downtown. I want to talk more about that in a bit. But can you give us some of the particulars here? I mean, you know, why that building specifically? Was it just the right fit for the business school?
Well, I'll give you a personal opinion. I've worked in the chamber building from my past career, and I think it's a gorgeous building. So externally, it's just a beautiful building. But the School of Business, it's a great place for some of our sort of visions. We're starting a new program, you may have heard about it, that concentrates on entrepreneurship. And the chamber building is in the hub zone. So if we achieve that vision of creating a place where students that are interested can explore starting their own businesses, that would be a terrific place to do that.
And I understand that, Michelle Merritt, this is also a big win for the Chamber.
It is a big win for the Chamber. The building's been for sale since 2010. And so we can't think of a better second career for that building than to be with St. Francis. They have a history of really caring for historic buildings. They've proven that on their own campus. We know that the building is, you know, for 84 years now, has played a substantial role in business in this community. And a lot of people are very attached to the building. So I think members and non-members alike should be very pleased that it's in the hands of St. Francis.
Well, and you just mentioned it. It's really had a long first career, I would say, as the home of the Chamber. Why did the Chamber want to move on from that location?
Well, you know, when the building was built 84 years ago when it opened, it was really the center of business. You know, people came downtown to do business, and they went home to their mansions in West Central, and so, which is what they were at the time. And so the Chamber's located exactly between the two, and it was the place where you came for everything. We had a restaurant in there. We had a bar in there, which is Mike Landrum's office, somehow, coincidentally, I'm sure. He says he hasn't found the trap door with all the stash, but we'll see.
Mike Landrum, of course,
being the president of the Chamber, right. But no, it was the place where you went for your Rotary meetings. It was the place where you went for all of those meetings. And it was really the only building of its kind in the area at the time that allowed for that large of a meeting space. Plus, at the time, the Fort Wayne Women's Club occupied the third floor. So it's our need for the building has changed. We have 38,000 square feet under roof today, and we quite frankly just don't use that amount of space anymore.
We're talking today about the University of St. Francis's announcement that they will be purchasing the Chamber of Commerce building in downtown Fort Wayne. We want to hear from you. If you're a student, faculty, a downtown enthusiast, or just have a question or comment for our panel, the number 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Bob Kaler.
There are some beautiful large spaces for meetings that even do well for banquets. I've been to a couple of weddings at the Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate those still being available as public venues, or are you optimistic enough to think that classrooms could consume all of that?
Yeah,
a very high ceiling classrooms.
That's a very good question. We don't see it as mainly being available to the public. We do see large classrooms that are fully equipped with all of the necessary electronics that you need for classrooms today. And all of college education is moving more towards team-based things. So some of those lovely rooms that you're talking about with a lot of windows, we see organizing them in places where students can gather and work on projects together or study in well-lit and pleasant places. So right now, I don't know if you got to see the blueprint that we put up with the news conference. Most of it is dedicated to classroom and team, student team places.
Bob does bring up a good point here. Does this signal an expectation of growth, of expansion at the School of Business?
Well, that's a good question. While we're moving rapidly into the online market for adult learners, we still see a demand for the direct out of high school student. They want the on-ground campus experience. And so we are thinking that this will appeal to the business student who wants to be engaged, wants to be in a campus life, and wants to partner with other students and have face-to-face small classrooms. So that's the market that we're looking at for the chamber building.
We do want to hear from you, our listeners, today. Give us a call. You can always call us toll-free, of course, 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always get in touch with us via social media. And of course, Helen Murray, this comes in the wake not too long ago of the university's acquisition of the Scottish Rite Building, which is located right next to the Chamber of Commerce building.
Yes, we're embarking on a pretty big project here, and we are looking for community support to really finish this out. But that, again, is part of this partnership. The School of Business is piloting this entrepreneurship program with the School of Creative Arts. And so those students will be doing things like music, technology, and animation, and all of those sort of artistic efforts in the what we're calling the Performing Arts Center, the USF Performing Arts Center, and will be just around the corner. So we're thinking that'll be a good kickoff to that new program, putting those two schools so close together.
And Michelle Merritt, this mm-hmm. does sound like it comes very much in the tradition that you mentioned a short time ago of this type of community partnership of teaming up now in a different way, but it's very much in the personality of that building and the organization there.
It is. I think that St. Francis will continue the tradition of the building and the collaboration that the chamber's been for decades. So.
All right. We're going to take just a quick break here. We will continue the discussion when we get back, but we do want to hear from you. The number 260-452-1185. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Jeffrey Toobin about how the Supreme Court decisions on Citizens United and the Affordable Care Act will affect legislation for years to come. His new book is The Oath, The Obama White House and the Supreme Court. Toobin's also the author of the bestseller The Nine. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lutheran Hospital, providing procedures for heart failure patients that keep their treatment in Fort Wayne close to home. Information at lutheranhealth.net.
1246, and you're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. And during this part of the program, we're talking about the University of St. Francis getting ready to move its School of Business to the Chamber of Commerce building in downtown Fort Wayne. Of course, we want to hear from you if you're a student, faculty, a downtown enthusiast, or just have a question or comment for our panelists today. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. Now, Helen Murray, looking at the previous purchase of the Scottish Rite building, and now at this acquisition, this sounds like an expensive series of projects, especially because you are moving to an off-campus location, and these are historic buildings that have special needs. Can you tell us a little bit about how the university's funding these projects?
Well, I don't have all of the specifics, but I will tell you that we certainly are looking for partners to complete these. This is a very ambitious project to create a downtown campus that is an extension of our Spring Street campus. So we certainly are interested in partnering with anyone who feels that this is a good idea for the Fort Wayne community. We've put a lot into it ourselves, as I say, are looking for partners wherever we can find them.
Well, how much of this this acquisition is going to be restoration and remodeling to get it ready for the School of Business?
That's a lot of it. I mean, as Michelle pointed out, the building was for sale for 5 years, right. and we took advantage of that in our offer. But we also had done a lot of investigation into what it would take to renovate a building that was that old to an effective classroom building, and that will be where most of the expense is.
And Michelle, does that is that in line with your experience at that building? That there's a lot of upkeep.
An 84-year-old building comes with its share of quirks and odd ticks and things like that. So there's definitely some work to be done. And, the chamber's right out there as well, encouraging people that have interest in partnering with St. Francis to do that, because it's a gem of a building, as is the former Scottish Rite building. I mean, they're both beautiful buildings, and no one wanted to see them go. So it's a gift to the community, really, that St. Francis has come along and really decided to move their campus downtown. I mean, vibrant downtowns in many cities often have college students and young people. They're helping to build that downtown feel. So we believe it's going to be a great partnership with the downtown community. But as a result, they're going to need a little bit of help.
And I do want to kind of move our focus to community. And Michelle, in the remarks at the announcement that mm-hmm. day, there was a lot of focus put on the fact that Fort Wayne doesn't really have an urban higher education presence until now. Mm-hmm. How important does the chamber see that? How important do you think it is to have that presence in order to keep Fort Wayne's downtown growing and keep that momentum going?
We obviously think it's very important. That's part of the reason we were so willing to and wanted so badly to work with St. Francis. Indiana Tech obviously has a campus near downtown, so we'd be remiss not to mention that. And clearly they're building a large law school near downtown too. And so the two combined, I think, will bring lots of young people. And with young people comes money to be spent downtown. It becomes a more vibrant community. It brings life to downtown. And there's a lot going on already downtown, as many people are aware. As someone personally who lives downtown and works downtown, it's great to see the energy starting to build downtown. I've been in town for about 4 years now, and the change of the energy, the increase in energy to the downtown community has continued to grow in these last 4 years that I've been here.
Helen Murray.
And another point we see, this is sort of visionary. We think that West Central neighborhood is a lovely place. I mean, there are some beautiful mm-hmm. places, and we could see by the campus being at Spring Street and downtown, that that would eventually build that neighborhood up, that more people would want to invest in a place where you had you could walk to an academic atmosphere. Faculty perhaps might choose to live there, and that would be, I think, a very a wonderful advantage, because you drive through those streets and there are some beautiful, beautiful homes in that area.
We do want to hear from our listeners today about the University of St. Francis's move downtown. Give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Now, I wanted to go back to this issue of the fact that the university is even heading downtown. I mean, it seems like it'd be easier to me to build on campus or expand on campus and keep the university presence consolidated there. I mean, were there a lot of discussions about, you know, really getting into the downtown area? I mean, is this a real priority for the university now?
Well, what you're describing are discussions that have been going on for several years. We knew that we had to expand in some way, and we've looked at a lot of different options, one of them most definitely being building or renovating some of the buildings that are on the Spring Street campus. And so when these opportunities, when we started to consider these, we had a pretty good background of what it would take to build on campus, what would be the problems about building on campus versus expanding the campus to what is really just a 10 or 15 minute drive. So I think there were, I can't tell you how many discussions it's been going on for several years, because we just knew we had to do something, and so this is what we've chosen.
And of course, this does give the university a little more visibility in the downtown area.
True, and that's an advantage. We hope that it'll make us attractive. The School of Business, particularly, we hope that it'll make us attractive to students who want to stay in the region. And particularly with this a new program that we're developing, we think that this will give young people who would like to develop their home and family in this region, this will give them some way to do that, to take their skills and talents and perhaps start their own little business.
Bob Kaler.
As you look at creating a downtown hub for St. Francis, any prospect of student housing downtown, or is the available rental housing are there so many choices there that you're not looking at that?
Well, that's an excellent question. We do have three residential buildings on campus, and they aren't totally full, so we've got some expansion there. We looked around to see what would happen if we had more students that wanted to be located downtown. So we have some ideas, but that's pretty far down the road right now. We want to get this up and running and vibrant and working before we cross that bridge. But that's a good question. We did talk about it a lot.
Just about 5 minutes left in the program. We do want to hear from you today. If you have a question you'd like to get in under the wire, it's 260-452-1185. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We have Otto posted on our Facebook wall. He says, did the close location to the downtown library factor into those decisions as well? And of course, the USF Performing Arts Center, the new business school location, very close to the Allen County Public Library.
Yes, absolutely. It did. It there are a lot of things down there. The theater that's very close, of course, the embassy that's just right down the road, all of those things. The Tin Cat Stadium even is a terrific attraction for young people. So, yes, we looked at all of that. We think that this is really going to be a nice location for us.
And just in the last few minutes here, I wanted to talk a few logistics here as well. Of course, the new business school location, very close to the META program, the USF Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be an increase in collaboration. Is that going to make that collaboration easier between those schools?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. It's always easier when they're right around the corner. So yes, absolutely, that will help. That will help.
And I mean, do you expect difficulties in some students being able to get to those locations downtown? Maybe if they're closer to the central campus.
Well, transportation is one of the logistical problems that we're going to have to resolve. We do think it's within biking distance, which is, mm-hmm. you know, the city is trying to emphasize biking, so we can see a nice biking trail between the Spring Street campus and the downtown campus. We would like to one day see buses, just like you see on big university campuses. There are always buses that are circling all the time, so we're looking into that.
I'm Bob Kaler.
If I'm understanding you right, you're looking at a business incubator as part of this for students to take a next step or an early step after graduation. What would you see as differentiating it from the existing incubators in Allen County?
Well, we're just starting. That again is one of those gleams in our eye.
Okay.
We're leaving space for that, and we're just beginning conversations with Nick and the other incubators to see what there is there. But yes, we could see one day maybe taking the students right out of the META program and into some kind of university supported incubation center. But again, that's really, really just a gleam in our eye. We absolutely okay. can't do that one all on our own.
But those gleams are so appealing.
They are.
People seize on them.
Yeah,
so.
it's just nice to have those visions. You can see that that it would be a terrific thing for the community.
Looking ahead now, what's next in the process, and what's next for the School of Business? Because I understand the deal hasn't even closed with the chamber yet.
Not yet. No, we've got a lot of logistical things to work out. We'll be concentrating probably this semester on an implementation plan to really get those details down, what we have to get done, and then we hope to start renovation sometime early in 13, mm-hmm. if at all possible. And again, it depends on community support, how quickly we'll get that done. But the ideal start date for us would be the fall of 2014. But we'll just have to see. All of that is still, as you say, we're just nailing down the closing right now. So that's all chalkboard stuff.
And Michelle Merritt, just briefly, this of course means that the chamber is soon without a home. Have you started looking?
We have begun looking. Actually, the press conference took place at 2:00 on Monday, and the relocation committee met for the first time at 4:00 on Monday. So we have begun looking, and we know we'll remain in the central part of the city, in the downtown area, because it is centrally located for our 1,700 members. But we don't know exactly where yet. And there's a team of people evaluating that. So we are starting to already look at the logistics that will go into packing up that old building and what all of that means for our members. What we can guarantee is that, if anything, programming will increase, mm-hmm. and our ability to advocate and everything for our members will only increase because we have a little better revenue for that.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Michelle Merritt, Helen Murray, thank you very much. I'm Sean Beter. This is WBOY Fort Wayne. Have a great day.